We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart. Psalm 69, 36 verses in this psalm. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to read all 36 of them tonight. And I'm always amazed at the depth of Scripture. The more you study it, the more there is. I would say that I only want to put a dent in the 69th Psalm tonight, but the truth of the matter is I'll be happy if we can just scratch the surface. There's so many things that the Lord has helped me with out of this chapter, and so many things more that He could, if I would let Him. Psalm 69 and verse 1, the Word of God says this, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproach of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecuted him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come unto thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell therein and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein." When I was a young person, I remember hearing a strange phrase. I think, ironically, I can remember the first time I heard someone use this phrase. It's a phrase that we use quite often. We say, hurry up and wait. I remember as a young person, when someone said that, they said, hurry up and wait, and I was quite confused by it all. As a matter of fact, I remember asking my dad, what does that mean, hurry up and wait? And he explained it to me. As I recall, I didn't understand the explanation either. We live in a very fast-paced world. We're zooming about constantly. It would seem that in a fast-paced world where we do things so efficiently, or perhaps we think we do them efficiently, it would seem that there would be no waiting. David says, if you look in verse number 3, David says, I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail. And then would you mark these next 6 words? While I wait for my God. Typically, when you teach or preach the Word of God, you leave it up to the Holy Spirit to deal with individual people. It's always amazing to me how perhaps there is a particular theme of a message or a particular theme of a lesson, but God, by His Spirit, can do amazing things, and He can speak to people about something completely off of that subject, completely off of that topic, you know? And so I don't usually go into something like this thinking there's one fits all, but I want you to know that tonight I'm going to ask every person to do the exact same thing. Life is a waiting room. We're waiting on something all the time. Perhaps it's just the simple course of life that we're waiting on. When you're a young person, when you're a small child, you're just waiting to get to be old enough so you can go to school with your friends. And, you know, then you're waiting to get out of kindergarten, and then you're waiting to get out of elementary school. And I remember my kindergarten graduation, and I got to walk down in front of everybody with my white gown and my hat, and I thought I was the biggest thing ever. You know, I thought it was a cool thing. And then I got to the end of my first grade year, and I said to my mom, I said, when is my my first grade graduation? And she said, oh, there's not a first grade graduation. I said, well, I had a graduation last year. She said, yeah, but you don't get one until you're a senior. I got to wait all that time to get another graduation? I thought it was a ripoff. I don't get a graduation every year, you know? But you're always waiting, right? When you're 15, you can't wait to be 16 because you can't wait to have a driver's license. When you get your driver's license, you can't wait to be 18. You're waiting, right? Carter just turned 18, and he jokes with me now that he's an adult. Yeah, you are. When you're 18, you graduating high school, 19 graduating high school, you're waiting to get off to college, and then you're waiting to get out of college, and then you're waiting to get married, and then you're waiting to have children, and then you're waiting for your kids to get out of your house, and then you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. And life is a waiting room, and David is waiting here. He's waiting. But he's not waiting on something trivial. We don't know exactly when Psalm 69 is written, but I want you to listen to these words. Verse number 1, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. David is one of these guys who, as you read his life, it's just sort of like he goes from trouble to trouble to trouble. But that's not unique, is it? That's called the human experience. Someone said life is pain. I do not believe that life is pain, but life certainly has pain. And life has things that we are waiting on. You go to the doctor's office, and they run tests. They do a biopsy, and then you wait. Your boss says to you, you know, we're going to be downsizing here pretty soon, and I'm not sure how things look for you, and you just got to wait. You're having a relationship problem and you're trying to fix it, but it's not really going so great. And you just think to yourself, I just have to wait and see how this whole thing turns out. You see, life is a waiting room. We're constantly waiting on something, but there are certain junctures in life where we're waiting on things, very, very serious things. David's waiting on a very serious thing here. We don't know, again, when this is written. It is some Bible scholars will say that this was written as David is running from Saul, and some will say that this is when David is running from Absalom. And can you even imagine the heartache and the heartbreak and the turmoil within your own soul when you're running for your life? And as if that wasn't bad enough, you're running from your life from your own child. And someone says, David, what are you waiting for? And David could have said, I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for my son to come back to his senses. I'm waiting for my son to love me again. He doesn't say that. David, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the restoration of my kingdom. I'm the rightful king. I'm waiting for the... No, he doesn't say any of that. David says, I'm waiting for my God. Saul, what were you waiting for? Saul says, I'll tell you what I was waiting for. I was waiting for Nathan. He was taking forever. We heard about this the other night. I'm waiting on Nathan. It's been over a week and he's not here, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and I can't wait any longer. So Saul, what'd you do? I messed the whole thing up. Why, Saul? And Saul says, because I wasn't waiting for God. I was waiting for a person. Prodigal son, what were you waiting for? I was waiting for my father to give me my inheritance. And I was waiting day after day after day. And I was waiting on that thing that I thought that I needed, that I thought that I had to have. And so finally, I just acted out and I couldn't wait any longer. And prodigal son, how'd that turn out? He said, I made a mess of everything because I should have just waited on God. Moses, what were you waiting for? I'm waiting, or Aaron rather, what were you waiting for? He says, I'm waiting for Moses. This guy goes up the mountain, leaves me with all these people. I'm waiting on him and waiting on him and waiting on him, and he's not coming back. And so I just lost hope in Moses. And how'd that turn out for you? Well, I made a complete mess of things, he says. Talk to Abraham. Abraham, what were you waiting on? I was waiting on my son to get here. God told me I was going to have a son, and it's been years. So I'm waiting on my son, and I'm waiting on my son, and he's not showing up. And so, Abraham, how'd that turn out for you? He said, I made a mess of things. Why? Because I didn't wait on God. Here's what I want you to know. That you have a choice tonight. While you wait, I have a choice. Am I going to wait on a doctor to get back to me? Am I going to wait on my next paycheck? Am I going to wait on that relationship? And am I going to wait on a person? What am I waiting on? I have a choice that I can make tonight, and I can choose to simply wait on my God. You see, one of the things that bothers me personally in my own life is that I've been around church so much all my life, and I've been saved for so long that I say things, and there's really no substance to this, really no meaning to it, right? Because you just have said it so many times, and so it says, wait on God. Amen, brother, wait on the Lord, you know. That's great. What does that mean? Well, David helps us. Turn back just a few pages in your Bible to Psalm chapter 52, or excuse me, 62 rather. Psalm chapter 62. David had a habit that is a good habit. By the way, not all habits are bad. David had a good habit, and that was this. David spoke to his soul. Isn't that interesting? David spoke to his soul. He spoke to his inner man. And David, in Psalm chapter 62 and verse number 5, he speaks to his inner man. He speaks to his soul, and he says this, my soul, wait thou only, David says, only wait upon God for, watch this please, my expectation is from him. Do you know how I know when I'm waiting on something other than God? When my expectation is wrapped up in that thing or that person or that result. When that event is what my expectation is, rather than God being my expectation. And David says, I don't know how this is going to work out. I know what I hope is going to happen. But David says, he that putteth confidence in man bringeth to himself a snare. I don't have my confidence in Saul. I don't have my confidence in Absalom. I don't have my confidence in Joab. He says, I'm just waiting on God to do something here. So here's the question. What do you do while you wait? Well, David gives to us at least seven things, and let me give them to you very quickly, if you would, tonight. Seven things that you can do while you wait. Number one, while I wait for my God, I should get thoroughly right with God. Look at verse number 5. David says, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. David is in a time, I mean, look, we can read those verses again, those first few verses. They just break your heart, don't they? David says, I am in a place right now, God, where sorrow is coming over me, and I don't have a solid place to put my foot. You ever been there? I heard a man say years ago, he was going through a particular trial in his life, and he said, I'm as weak as water. I thought, that's interesting. You ever been there? Weak as water? Where you can't do anything. By the way, that's the definition of waiting. You see, if I had power to fix it, I wouldn't wait. I'd just fix it. But I don't have power to fix it. Therefore, I'm forced to wait. When you have nothing within your power, David says, look here at verse number 2, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. David says, look, God, in this situation, I'm just looking for some strong footing here. I'm just looking for somewhere to put my foot, and I got nothing, God. I'm treading water. No, I'm treading sorrow. And in the middle of that, David says, yet here's my attention. Verse number 5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. David says, while I wait for my God, I'm going to get thoroughly right with him. Look, you can't go anywhere anyway. You're already in the waiting room. You might as well do something constructive while you're there. And David says, while I'm waiting, while my expectation is from God, while I wait to see what God's going to do in this situation, while I look to him and put my faith in him, I'm going to get thoroughly right. God, I've examined me, now you examine me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, David says, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, as we wait for God and a particular situation, and as we look to him, we say, God, help me to get thoroughly right with you. There's a second thing. While I wait for my God, oh, this is a simple one, isn't it? Pray. Look at verse number 13. David says, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. But prayer is one of those things that we talk about so much. Excuse me. Prayer is one of those things that I talk about so much, and I just do so little of it. But there are times when God puts us in the waiting room, and he says, you got nowhere to go, chief. You got plenty of time. What you going to do? Pray. Seek his face. You say, how long should I pray? Well, here's the question. How long are you going to wait? There are some men in this church that have been such an encouragement to me in the last couple of years with some of these health things that I've had to deal with, and they've been such an encouragement to me, such a help. I was thinking some time ago, by the way, they're helping me because they're going through some health issues themselves, and that's the Bible way, isn't it? That we comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted, and that's how Paul put it. And they're helping me, they're comforting me, and as they're praying for me, and I'm praying for them, and it came to me just not too long ago. I'm praying for these guys, and I didn't even really say it to the Lord. I just sort of a thought that popped into my own head, and I thought, I've been praying for these guys for a while. How long am I going to pray for them? The Lord instantly brought this thought to me. How long have you been waiting for it? You see, as long as you wait, you pray. As long as God has not brought about his resolution to it, you pray. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so academic in our Christian life. Hey, we're Christians, and so we pray about everything. Do we? Do we actually? And David says, Lord, while I wait for my God, as for me, my prayer is unto thee. There's a third thing. Look at verse number 20. David says, reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. There's a third thing that we should do while we're in the waiting room, while we're waiting for our God, and that is this. Be honest about your feelings. You know what I think is interesting about me? Sometimes I have a hard time being honest with God, which is, how do you say, a struggle in futility? He already knows, right? By the way, he knows it better than I know it. And yet David says, God, you know my inner being. You know who I am. You know me better than I know myself. And yet, Father, I'm going to express to you the way I feel. You know, sometimes I just want people to feel sorry for me, and so I just sort of tell them how I'm feeling. Wait a second. When's the last time I found myself in the waiting room? I found myself looking forward to something or trying to get someone to come around to the way I want them to think. And just tell God, Lord, this is a little frustrating for me. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing with all this. David speaks to God like this, and he simply says, God, I'm brokenhearted. I'm full of heaviness. God, I look for some to take pity. Isn't it great when you find like guys like David mirroring things that you do, right? Makes you feel a little bit better about yourself anyway. And then I find myself again, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none, right? Someone says to me, you know, how's things going? Oh, you know, whatever. Nobody listens when I complain anyway. David says, listen, you're waiting for something? You're waiting on your God? Let him know how you feel about that. There's a fourth thing. Verse number 21, he continues, he says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Would you write this down? While I wait for my God, identify with your Savior. I've been studying through this chapter. I've been asking the Lord to help me. And it dawned on me suddenly. Dan, you're waiting for some things. Yeah, I'm waiting, sure. And I'm trying to wait on God. I'm trying not to look to people and look to things. I'm trying to keep my eyes on the Lord. And it dawned on me. I don't know why I'd never thought of this before. Jesus, he's waiting too. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, no man knoweth the day, no man knoweth the hour, not the angels of heaven. He says, I don't even know the day. It is reserved only for my Father. He knows that perfect moment in human history when he's going to turn to Jesus on his right side and he's going to say, go get him. Now watch this. The bridegroom, oh, he wants to be with his bride. Sure, he wants to come back. Sure, he wants to gather us to himself. But guess what? Jesus is not sitting beside the Father impatient. Do you know why? Because he's not looking. He's not waiting for the time. He's looking to the Father. He's waiting on his Father. Identify with your Savior in your waiting. He truly is the high priest that has been touched with the feeling of all of our infirmities, even in this point. Look, we love to say, you know, I want the power, that resurrection power, you know. And Paul says, look, let me tell you what goes with the resurrection power. the fellowship of his suffering. Identify with your Savior in your waiting. By the way, Jesus is our perfect example in all things. And he is my perfect example in waiting. As he waits by the Father's side, he does not wait impatiently. He doesn't sit there saying, well, I wish he'd just listen to me because I think it's time for me to go right now. No, no, no. He simply says, Father, whenever you're ready, it's going to be the right time. And Jesus waits. There's a fifth thing. Look at verse number 29, if you would, please. David says this, but I'm poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. While I wait for my God, rest in his justice. David says, I'm poor. That means he's saying here, I can't do anything about this. I'm sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. David says, like all of us do, while we're waiting on things, we're trying to accomplish it ourselves. We want to get it done ourselves. And here's why. Because we don't think we should have to wait. Right? I don't think I should have to wait. You say, I don't feel that way. Really? Have someone sit through a green arrow. That's going to test your salvation right there. Right? Why? Because I shouldn't have to wait. I sat right out here at this intersection a few days ago, and there was a lady in front of me, and the light was green arrow, and she didn't go. And so you just assume that she's texting someone like you were texting them a few minutes ago, right? And so I gave the courtesy honk. You know what the courtesy honk is? Right? That's the angry honk, The courtesy honk is like, hey, look up. And so I gave her the da-da, And she's looking in her side mirror at me, and just put your head down like, it's still green and there's still nobody coming, And so now whatever was distracting her before doesn't matter because now I've distracted her and I just give up. I'm going to sit through this entire green light. And then literally as it's turning yellow, she starts to go and then stops. That's when the Holy Spirit means something to you, You know what my problem is? No, I'm being serious now. You know what my problem is? I don't think I should have to wait. But sometimes God says, Dan, you got to wait. You're not going to get it right now. You don't get what you want right now because I know better. Trust in his justice. Trust that he knows. Look, do you know how I know when I'm waiting on God rather than waiting on things? When I'm okay with waiting. Are you okay with waiting? There's a sixth thing in verse number 30. David says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. While I wait for my God, praise him. David is in a tough place here, right? I mean, we've already discovered that. David's in a very tough place. And even in that tough place, David says, I'm going to praise God. Let me tell you something. Praise never comes naturally at bad times, right? Praise never comes naturally when things aren't going well. And so that means that praise does not come naturally, watch this, most of the time. It's a choice I have to make. And David says, while I'm waiting, and by the way, I don't think I've ever waited. Oh, I know I've never waited on anything as dire as David's waiting on. If David can praise the name of his God while he waits, certainly I can as well. So while I wait, I praise him. Something very interesting I find here. Look at verse number 31. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. Do you know why Job praised God when his children were gone and his cattle were gone and his servants were gone? Do you know why Job praised God? because his children and his cattle and his servants were not the object of his praise. And as long as the object of Job's praise remained, he had someone to praise. And you may say, well, look, I'm waiting on this and I'm waiting on that. Wait a second. Stop praising the thing that you're waiting on and start praising your God. He's always there and he's always worthy of praise. And so David says, look, while I'm waiting, I'm going to praise God. And it's better than a sacrifice of an ox or of a bullock or anything that I could give to him. Do you know why praise means so much to God when things aren't going well? It's because it costs so much to us. It doesn't cost dollars and cents. It costs something for me to die to myself, to recognize who is the creator of the universe. And when my soul is sorrowful, when my soul is messed up inside and I don't feel like doing it, I set self aside and I say, but he's worthy of my praise. That is valuable to God. And David says, it's better than an ox or a bullock. Verse number 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. You know what David says? When you're waiting on something, when you're in the process of getting something done or something comes to a conclusion, and people see you praise God in that time, guess what that does? That helps them. He says, this is a domino effect. The humble shall see this and be glad. Verse number 33, oh, I love this. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoner. Would you hold your place here in Psalm very quickly with me? Hold your place here in Psalm, and let's go to the New Testament and look, if you would, please, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. You see, sometimes we feel like a prisoner in the waiting room. We feel trapped in the waiting room. We feel trapped, like there's nothing that I can do, right? That's why I'm waiting. And so I'm bound up here. I'm in prison. And someone says, well, what are you in prison to? I'll tell you what I'm in prison to. I'm in prison to this person. Because they're not coming through for me. Or I'm in bondage to my finances because I'm waiting for my paycheck, or I'm waiting for financial stability. I'm waiting for this to sell. I'm waiting for the economy to get better. That's not going to happen. I'm waiting on this and I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting on all these things. And by the way, while I'm waiting, I feel like I'm in prison. Let me tell you something. If you feel like you're in prison to something like that, it's because you have put yourself in that prison. Watch what Paul says here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Rome. Is that what your Bible says? I, Paul, the prisoner of Caesar. I, Paul, the prisoner of these crazy religious Jews. No. You see, human hands grabbed hold of him and put shackles on him and threw him in a dungeon. But here's what Paul says. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Would you turn one page over to to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1? I, therefore, Paul says, the prisoner of the Lord. Hey, don't ever forget who put you in the waiting room. Don't ever forget. About a year and a half ago, I was going through some pretty tough stuff, you know, and I remember thinking to myself in a pretty low moment, God, do you know where I am? Do you actually know where I am? And you know what my father said to me? I know where you are. I put you there. I put you there. I didn't lose you. I didn't go frantically looking about for you and just say, oh, Dan's in the waiting room. Didn't know that. Son, I put you in the waiting room. A couple of months ago, I'm working on something in the house, and I sent one of my boys to go find my cordless drill. And I'm standing on a chair, precariously standing on a chair, right? I said, I need my cordless drill. It's down in the basement, it's in the garage, you know, on my workbench. He runs down there and he comes back up. He says, it's not there. Trust me, it's there. Go get it. Runs back downstairs. You know, oh, comes back up. Yeah, here, it was there. And I said to him, I know it was there. Do you know how I know? I put it there. That's how I know it was there. Now, that doesn't always work because people pick stuff up, right? Hey, listen, you're not a prisoner. You're not a prisoner to the thing that you think you're a prisoner of unless you make yourself a prisoner of that thing. Look here, why don't you just choose to be a prisoner of Jesus and put it in his omnipotent hand and trust him with it and say, I'm not waiting on anything else, but I'm waiting on my God. Let me give you a seventh thing very quickly. Verse number 35, David says, for God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. While I wait for my God, I will be confident that his purposes will be fulfilled. His purposes are going to be fulfilled. Now look, that's hard sometimes when we're waiting, right? That's hard to believe sometimes, but by faith, here's what I know. God is going to do what God is going to do, and nothing is going to stop him. And look here, I can pout, I can pitch a fit in the waiting room, I can be miserable, I can wait on people to do things, I can wait on a doctor that I'm just dreading to get that news, I can wait on any number of things. Or I can just wait on God and be confident that all things work together for good to them who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, David says, God, I'm in deep mire right here. But God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah. God, I know you're going to do something. I don't know how it's all going to go for me, but I know how it all ends. There's something interesting about waiting. Waiting always tires us, doesn't it? Oh, you get so tired of the wait. And by the way, the longer you wait, the more tired you get. The longer you wait, the more disturbed you get. And that only happens when you're not waiting on God. Here's the interesting thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Get tired the longer it goes? No. Get stronger the longer it goes. Get more disturbed by it. Get more stressed about it. Get more anxious about it. No. Not more stressed, less stressed. Not more anxious the longer it goes. No, less anxious the longer it goes. Why? Because the longer it goes, the longer I've had my eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the songwriter said. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. David, what's going on? Well, David says, there's a lot going on around me. But let me tell you what's going on. I'm waiting on my God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used his word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.